Thank you so much for coming this afternoon. And the topics are diverse. So, diverse topics in epidemiology, that's the title of this, one of the last sessions here. You are the resilient group. You're still here in the afternoon. I just came from the main expo hall. Many, many stands already packing or they are getting ready to go. I myself have still some responsibilities until tomorrow, so I will leave only tomorrow. But I'm happy that we can still have this session, and I can promise you it will be quite interesting. The first presentation will be by Julia Howland. She graduated from the University of Illinois in Chicago with a master's in public health. It's now already 4 years ago. In the program, it said that she is an applied epidemiology fellow at the Department of Public Health in the Division of Infectious Diseases. However, she has been promoted and is now an epidemiologist and has gone already another step forward, which is always great news. And so we would like to hear you now on the comparison of birth certificate and hospital discharge data in order to identify early elective deliveries.
Great. Thanks so much for being here with us today. As our moderator said, you are the brave few who have stayed. So my name is Julia Howland. I'm an epidemiologist in the Division of Patient Safety and Quality at the Illinois Department of Public Health. Today I'm going to be discussing non-medically indicated early deliveries. Non-medically indicated early deliveries are deliveries that are defined as occurring after an induction or cesarean section without trial of labor between 37 and 38 weeks gestation. These deliveries occur for any number of reasons, including patient or provider convenience, relief of symptoms of pregnancy, perceived liability concerns, and providers with a broader idea of what would justify an early delivery. These deliveries are also referred to as early elective deliveries, and I'll be using those terms interchangeably. Recently, there's been quite a bit of attention given to early term births in general. This is largely due to the fact that these deliveries result in poor outcomes for children, including higher rates of neonatal mortality, NICU admission, respiratory distress syndrome, ventilator use, pneumonia, and a C-section rate that's between 2 and 2.5 times that of deliveries that occur between 39 and 40 weeks, or late term deliveries. In Illinois and elsewhere, these deliveries are also quite common. In our state, we see 25% of deliveries occurring between 37 and 38 weeks. Due to the fact that these deliveries are dangerous and fairly common, it is estimated that by eliminating non-medically indicated early deliveries, we would save $1 billion annually. Prematurity contributes significantly to infant death and can be quite difficult to affect. Non-medically indicated early deliveries are an exception to this. Through targeted interventions for providers and patients, several states have had success in significantly and quickly reducing non-medically indicated early deliveries. Many organizations have voiced support for these efforts, including the Joint Commission, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the March of Dimes, Medicaid, and CHIP. In Illinois, we have coalesced and engaged in a diverse group to address early deliveries, including representatives from the business community, private advocacy groups, public health, academic institutions, and clinical groups. We believe that ending early elective deliveries in Illinois and nationally is a winnable battle. To this end, the Illinois Department of Public Health and the University of Illinois at Chicago School of Public Health recently undertook an effort to examine the rate of non-medically indicated early deliveries in Illinois and to make the data available to birthing hospitals. We hoped this project would support hard stop policies in place in hospitals and encourage a broader conversation, especially among patients and payers. The purpose of my presentation today is to examine data sources we had available to measure non-medically indicated early deliveries in Illinois, and in particular to describe our ability to capture the conditions the Joint Commission identifies as justifications for an early delivery. We wanted to answer the question, does the Illinois birth certificate allow for accurate measurement of non-medically indicated early delivery? Illinois used an algorithm based on the Joint Commission early delivery measure. The algorithm was adapted from the one used by Dr. William Sappenfield in Florida and is similar to what several other states have used. The population for the measure only includes women who delivered at 37 and 38 weeks without a specific set of exclusions, which I will address. Just sort of keep in mind that that's the group we're talking about through this whole presentation, women who deliver between 37 and 38 weeks. Sappenfield's algorithm is designed to be used with a birth certificate, so we began our analysis with this data set. In accordance with the Joint Commission standard, we excluded preterm births, those occurring less than 37 weeks, late-term and post-term births, anything after 38 weeks, multiple births, and non-resident and out-of-state births. However, we quickly found that the birth certificate did not capture all of the Joint Commission designated indications, and that there was significant confusion and variability in how the birth certificate was being completed. Despite this, the birth certificate is the only data source available for every delivery and the only data source that includes a clinical estimate of gestational age. The fact that the birth certificate does not capture all the Joint Commission indications led us to consider the utility of the hospital discharge record. The discharge record uses ICD-9 billing codes, and we are able to identify all of the Joint Commission conditions justifying an early delivery using these codes. In Illinois, there was no patient identifying variable available before 2012, and there is still no link between vital records and hospital discharge data. Unfortunately, the hospital discharge data does not include an estimate of gestational age. This means that we are not able to specifically identify births that occurred in that target period of 37 to 38 weeks. We were able to exclude births identified as post-term and post-mature, these occurring after 40 weeks, multiple births, and non-resident births. Of course, there are many appropriate reasons why a provider or patient would choose to induce or have a C-section before 39 weeks. The Joint Commission measure identifies a number of conditions that possibly justify an early delivery. The algorithm we use divides these into exclusions and indications. Exclusions are conditions that primarily occur before labor begins. These births are excluded from the analysis entirely, deleted from both the numerator and the denominator. I've shown an incomplete list here and include conditions that occur both in the mother and in the labor process. Indications occur during the labor process and are included in the analysis but not in the numerator of the measure. So therefore, they don't count against a hospital or county in the non-medically indicated early delivery rate. I've shown an incomplete list of examples here. These conditions, indications and exclusions, and our ability to accurately and completely capture them are the focus of the presentation. Therefore, the non-medically indicated early delivery rate is defined as births that occur by induced labor or cesarean section between 37 and 38 weeks gestation in women with no exclusions or indications, divided by deliveries with no exclusions between 37 and 38 weeks gestation. Although the algorithm is designed to be used with birth certificate data, we wanted to explore the issue in our discharge data as well. We used code V270 to identify singleton live deliveries and excluded early onset deliveries and post-term deliveries. We then excluded all deliveries that had a condition we could identify in the birth certificate. We were left, therefore, with an estimated population of deliveries that could possibly have been non-medically indicated early deliveries using our birth certificate data. Births with no indications or exclusions that can be identified in the birth certificate. We then compared the list of Joint Commission defined medical indications and exclusions to the conditions we are able to capture on our birth certificate. We used the hospital discharge data to examine the prevalence of these missed conditions. We applied the rate of the missed conditions to the population in our measure to estimate the birth certificate overestimation of early elective deliveries in Illinois. Although it's outside the scope of this abstract, I thought folks might be interested in seeing the results of the analysis of the birth certificate data. Using the birth certificates, we found the rate of non-medically indicated early deliveries in Illinois declined from approximately 30 to approximately 25% of early-term births from 2010 to 2012. This is really good news and speaks to the fact that this is an issue I think we in public health can win. Interestingly, we find higher rates of non-medically indicated early deliveries occurring in private paid populations. This is not something we usually expect in maternal and child health conditions, and relatively low rates in self-pay patients. echoing this, higher rates of non-medically indicated early deliveries occur in white patients than patients of color. We did a side-by-side comparison of the conditions captured by the Illinois birth certificate and those identified by the Joint Commission as possibly justifying an early delivery. The Joint Commission identifies 73 ICD-9 codes that may justify an early delivery. Some conditions have more than one associated ICD-9 code. Preeclampsia, for example, has several. The Joint Commission measure, therefore, identifies 59 unique conditions that may justify an early delivery. Of these, the Illinois birth certificate is only able to identify 43 ICD-9 codes and 30 unique conditions. Obviously, therefore, there are some women who may have a justified early delivery that we cannot identify from their birth certificate record. The next question is how many women we were missing. So we then attempted to recreate the analysis using discharge data. We started by identifying singleton live births at 40 weeks or less gestation and removed births with an indication that we could capture on the birth certificate. We are left with 101,838 births. Of these, 23.5% had a justifying condition that does not appear on our birth certificate. In other words, 23.5% of births in the numerator of the rate we derived from using the birth certificate are potentially misclassified because they have a condition that justifies an early delivery, but we can't capture it. We examined the most commonly occurring conditions that are missed on the Illinois birth certificate. By far, the most common was abnormal fetal heart rate. This occurred in 135.9 per 1,000 live births and accounted for nearly half of the women potentially misclassified using the birth certificate. I've listed several other of the commonly occurring conditions here. So using the discharge record, we found that 21% of births at 40 weeks or less had one or more conditions justifying an early delivery. Using birth certificate data, only 10% of births had these conditions. Therefore, the birth certificate is not only missing a substantial number of conditions, it may also be underestimating the prevalence of conditions it can capture. Again, here I've stated that 23.5% of the births that have a condition possibly justifying early delivery as identified in the discharge record that we are not able to see on the birth certificate. If the rate of justifying conditions is as high as the discharge record indicates, we wanted to know how many women we were misclassifying. The weakness of the discharge record, again, is that we cannot identify births of the correct gestational age. Therefore, we took the population of women with deliveries at 37 and 38 weeks that we found from the birth certificate, 36,402 women in 2012. Of these, the birth certificate identified 10% with a condition justifying early delivery. The discharge record found that the rate of conditions available on the birth certificate was 21%. If we apply this to the number of women delivering at 37 to 38 weeks, we find 7,644 women with justifying conditions. If we examine conditions not captured by the birth certificate, the discharge record finds an additional 23.5%, or 6,758 of these may have justifying conditions. So, in total, the birth certificate may be missing 10,720 women a year with justifying conditions. Compared to the hospital discharge record, the birth certificate misses a significant number of conditions that justify an early delivery and substantially underestimates the prevalence of conditions it can capture. The result is a significant overestimate of early elective deliveries when using the birth certificate. Our estimates find these rates may be overestimated by approximately 25%. Despite this, in Illinois, we believe in the importance of the birth certificate and continue to use this data source as the primary record for identifying non-medically indicated early deliveries. We do this for several reasons. It's available for all births in our state, thus enabling comparisons by demographics and between hospitals without small sample issues. There's no additional reporting burden for hospitals, which is a big issue in public health, as I'm sure you would agree. The birth certificate is the only data source we have that we can trend over time. It's something people have been completing every year. And the reporting system is identical and consistent for all hospitals. Rather than implementing a new data reporting system at significant expense and the typical cast of complications, we are working to improve the birth certificate as a data collection tool for this and a large number of other local, state, and federal reporting priorities. We also do want to remember that we may be overestimating the error in the birth certificate data because our justifying condition rate was based on deliveries happening at all gestational ages, including preterm births. Therefore, the true rate of justifying conditions in early-term deliveries is probably between what we see on the birth certificate and what we estimated using the discharge record. Luckily, in epidemiology, we don't need perfect data to inspire good progress. We are continuing to use this data in Illinois in a wide-reaching campaign to end early elective deliveries. We believe the data is useful for identifying at-risk groups and monitoring trends within a hospital and statewide. We are also interested in establishing a link between our birth certificates and hospital discharge data now that we have patient identifiers available. Lastly, we're working with a group from our vital records department, the Division of Patient Safety and Quality, our regional perinatal system, and the School of Public Health to improve birth certificate and collection system. The improvements we're working on are mostly focused on increasing the validity of existing variables through training of clerks, clarification of variables at the state level, and an audit using medical records at selected hospitals. But we are also exploring adding variables to the birth certificate, especially the abnormal fetal heart rate we described earlier. I'm able to take any questions if I have time.
Yes, there's time.
That's a good question. Yeah, you know, probably not, because the list of justifying conditions is going to remain the same. So we have a list of justifying conditions from the Joint Commission, and unless they were to update that list, I wouldn't expect a change with ICD-10. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know how many
So there's actually no way to report gestational age on the discharge record, so no hospitals are reporting it. We did find that. Yep. Exactly. And it's good to remember the discharge record is designed for billing purposes. So unless it's useful for billing, it's not going to appear on the discharge record. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the Illinois birth certificate mirrors the national standard quite closely. So there have been some states, namely Ohio, that have added some useful variables to their birth certificate. But in general, I think the opinion is that it's better to try to link your discharge record to your birth certificate than to try to add a bunch of variables to the birth certificate. What I keep saying about birth certificate data is that right now we're working on early elective deliveries using the birth certificate, but in a year it's going to be another issue entirely. So we can't constantly try to adapt the birth certificate to a specific reporting priority. We have to find ways to link existing data systems to address all reporting priorities. We're making some. Yeah, so we're trying to, I think the biggest change we're trying to make is that there are some variables that are very unclear. So there's a variable on our birth certificate, for example, that says fetal intolerance of labor. But what that means to each hospital varies. And so we're trying to clarify what the existing variables mean and train clerks on how to accurately complete those variables rather than adding a bunch of variables. The only change that is driven by the project is the addition of the abnormal fetal heart rate to our birth certificate, and that is something we're trying to add to the birth certificate because it would increase the accuracy of our measure so much. Ohio, I don't know if Ohio did add that one. I would have to check their birth certificate. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.